Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, and it's January the 9th. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. If you want to watch the show live, we do video stream it at streaming.afa.net. We live video stream this show at streaming.afa.net. We also are on Facebook with just Today's Issues, and on the Facebook page, we post the stories that we talk about. So you can find a link to the information we're using to base our comments and stories on at Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. Tim, Ray, and Wesley here with you on this Tuesday morning, afternoon for those on the East Coast. Now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
And I have the temperature that we said we look up. And then
We're talking about the Iowa caucuses are next Tuesday, right? A week from today?
That's correct. True. And then I need to vent. So, okay,
but first of all, play meteorologist. Our weatherman, Wesley Wildman, now will tell us what the temperature is in Des Moines, Iowa, a week from tonight, which will be caucus night. Go ahead.
The real temperature will be -5. And the wind chill temperature will be -14. And now I'll begin my rant. And why in the world do we have two different temperatures when it's one temp? It's -14, okay? Walker and I have had this conversation many times when we are going hunting. He'll ask me what the temperature is. We need to prepare for what the temperature feels like because that's the temperature.
So you're saying
why do we say -5?
We're going with the wind chills.
Yes, that's what it feels like. Right. What it feels like is the temperature.
Except if you're like a car engine, and there's a difference between whether you freeze at -14 or -2.
Yeah, that may be true, but for your ordinary common person, they need to know what the temperature is.
What does it feel like when I go out there, not what the actual temperature might be, but factor in the wind chill.
So it's not going to be a balmy -5. It's going to be a really cold -14.
Thank you, Ray.
Hey, wind does make all the difference.
It does. Huh?
Absolutely, it does. It makes a big difference. So to your point, Dad, it'll be between 10 and 20 mile-per-hour winds.
Hey, Ray, I've got something for you to try here. It's going to be – what's the temperature going to be tomorrow?
You're asking about here in –
In Kansas City.
It's going down to 12 tonight. It's going to be about 34 tomorrow,
it's going to get below zero, though, at some point, right?
Sunday.
Sunday.
The high literal temperature, Wesley, is -3.
All right.
Is -7.
I want you to – maybe you've done this before, but you need to take a little cup or a pot of boiling water outside and throw it in the air. Have you ever done that, Ray?
I've seen the videos.
I've done it.
Fantastic.
It is.
Does it work? Not just fake videos?
Explain what happens.
It's something called the Pemba effect. And basically what happens is you throw boiling water. Doesn't work with cold water. You throw boiling water into the air in sub-zero temperatures. It almost explodes into like mist and snow and everything. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. You can look it up online, the YouTube videos. But I've done this. It really happens.
I'm like Ray. I've seen it. But I have not been given an opportunity with the temperature to try it. So
it works. Living in Colorado, you get a lot of those opportunities.
Well, next week for us here in Tupelo, Mississippi, there will be a couple mornings where the wind chill, the feel like temp, will be in the negatives.
I don't know if that works or not.
But the actual the temperature will be around 6-7 degrees.
So I don't know if it's cut off at exactly zero or what it is, but I know if it's cold, like below zero, it should work.
You're welcome, Dad. I started this.
I'm just thinking about
the question again.
Well, a lot of people, you better make sure your pipes are covered.
That's true.
Yes.
All those things, because you're talking about temperatures that will make your life miserable if your heating goes out or your pipe burst and water's everywhere. That's no fun at all to think about that. Mm-hmm. And I know people that's happened to. Anyway, and also, in all seriousness, to check on people who are elderly, are infirmed, or, you know, are vulnerable, because if for instance, if you live in a house and your heat goes out and it's that kind of temperature right there, in about 7-8 hours, you know, you could be, it could be life threatening. Right. If you don't, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not too much there. Ray, you've heard of these stories, people.
Look, it is going to be. We've got this polar vortex. They're calling it, coming down. But, you know, we're used to hearing these incredible temperatures in northern, say, Montana, on the High Line, up near the Canadian border. But that's coming all the way down into Kansas. It's coming down into Oklahoma. It's coming down into North Texas, where people are not really ready for it. So,
Anyway, it's going to be it's dangerous. It's going to be it will be a serious situation. You remember Texas experienced that grid outage?
The grid.
Electrical grid went out.
Right.
Was that? A couple years ago,
because of
the cold
water froze. You go to the freezing of the water. Yeah, and you know, to your point, Dad, just for a couple dollars, you can buy the covers that go on your faucets on the outside, just for a couple dollars. You know, so even if you've got a house like ours that's built with the double layer, you know, there's reasons why if the faucet's built on the outside or on the inside or where your water heat is, there's factors that can contribute to a more likelihood of a pipe break. If your pipes are underground or on top, you know, or in the walls or whatever, there's different reasons. Nonetheless, just regardless, just for a couple dollars, you can put those little covers on the outside, which solves all problems.
Hey, Wesley, have you ever heard of Bob Vila?
No.
You're doing a good impression.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but I don't even know who he is. So
that's before Wesley's time,
right
there.
I guess so.
That's right.
He doesn't know who Bob Vila is. He doesn't know who Bob Ross is.
I just assumed it because it was coming from Steve. It was a compliment. I don't know. No, I haven't been on the program long enough.
It's a big compliment.
Okay, all right.
He's a home improvement guy.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I know people.
He also did infomercials there for a while.
That's true.
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
All right. Democrats would like to keep January 6th alive at least until the 2024 election, if not forever. They would like to take down the Republican, certainly the MAGA movement, using it. And I have the latest example. District U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves is in charge of finding and prosecuting a lot of these J6 crimes. And he is talking about
what's his name and what's his title?
His name is Matthew Graves, and he's a D.C. U.S. He's a U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, federal attorney in the District of Columbia.
And we're about to hear him.
We're about to hear him, and he is going to talk about what might be ahead for people who were in Washington on that day. So I want you to hear cut 9.
An important note when it comes to our prosecutions about those who remained outside the building. We have used our prosecutorial discretion to primarily focus on those who entered the building or those who engaged in violent or corrupt conduct on Capitol grounds. But if a person knowingly entered the restricted area without authorization, they had already committed a federal crime. Make no mistake, thousands of people occupied an area that they were not authorized to be present in the first place.
Thousands. I know some people who were there that day and went to the Capitol, but just thought it wasn't right.
Is he talking about like there were barricades in place and they violated those barricades? Is that what he's talking about?
Anything that you were not allowed to be on in those days. I don't think it's the barricades. I think the entire Capitol grounds is trespassing or basically off limits.
But they had permission to have a rally there.
The rally was at the Ellipsis, I think. It wasn't at the Capitol.
It wasn't at the Capitol.
Pardon me?
They walked to the Capitol. They didn't have the rally at the Capitol.
There were two rallies.
Well, the second rally was a riot. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Okay.
No, President Trump had a rally.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Right.
Go, remember that? And then he told him he would meet him at the Capitol for the second rally.
Which turned out to be whatever is commonly known as January 6th. Am I misunderstanding you?
Yeah, Tim? And the second rally was John Eastman and I think Rudolph Giuliani and some others. So that was the second rally.
I'm not familiar with that one.
That was a big part of the day. I want to check that out.
What's the point you're getting at?
My point is they had two rallies, and my point is they would have had to have permission to have that second rally. It was on national television. They were at the people who were there. They marched down from wherever President Trump was speaking to them to this second rally. That's my point. So that wouldn't have been in violation of any law to be participating in a rally by the Capitol. So I'm not sure exactly what – I'm sorry, I don't know. Were there barricades in place?
There were barricades between.
And is that what the fellow's talking about there for the people who violated the barricades, which was a line of demarcation to say you can't go past this? And he's saying that if you did go past this, you could potentially be prosecuted. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
It might be. He's not. He didn't elaborate more than that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, next story.
All right. So we told you yesterday, I believe, that the immigration numbers are going downhill of late because Mexico has agreed to help President Biden with the border. Mm-hmm. Well, we are finding the second shoe is dropping. We're now knowing what Mexico has asked for in order to help. Now, this is President Andres Manuel López Obrador. I just like saying that word.
Say that three times fast.
Andres Manuel López Obrador. There you go.
You did it.
Open the door.
So you remember.
Oh, we have opened the door.
Right. No doubt. You remember late in December, Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken went down to Mexico City to talk about the immigration policy because, well, they must have been sent there by the czar, Kamala Harris. But so this is what the Mexican president is saying. He's demanding, in order to help with the U.S., and by the way, the numbers have gone down, so apparently he is helping, and maybe we have done this without really a whole lot of
numbers have gone down since when?
Last month or so.
Like last 2 days?
Last week or so. They've been.
It's probably in the last week or so because the month of December was an all-time high. So we're.
I think everybody's come.
You're right. There are out of people who want to come.
What's the demand?
This is what López Obrador is asking for. He wants the U.S. to give him $20 billion. To Latin American and Caribbean countries. He wants the U.S. to grant work visas to 10 million Hispanics who have worked in the U.S. for at least 10 years. And he wants to end sanctions against Venezuela and halt the blockade of Cuba. If we do all that, then he'll play with us on the border.
That's a public statement?
The thing he made this during a press conference. He said this.
Well, that answers that question.
Wow. 10 million. Did you say 10 million?
I said 10 million Hispanics, yes, that are in the country.
That he wants visas for, and then 20 billion in cash, and then also lift some sanctions from some of these Caribbean countries.
This sounds like hostage taker demands.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he's got the right president in office to ask for that.
Well, now, you know, Ed has said, Ed Battagliano, the astute international political observer, has said that, you know, we could pay Mexico to help keep people from coming up to the border, right?
Well, and this is his
that price. That would be money well spent. I don't know how much, but it would, people might say, well, that's bribery. Well, welcome to the world, people.
Right.
That takes place every day, all day, all over the world. America's bribed countries and leaders forever, as has other countries. We, by bribery, I mean, listen, we pay Egypt a lot of money to keep the peace between Egypt and Israel and keep the Suez Canal open. You know, so I'm just saying, if you're thinking the world is going to be somehow run without money, by buying people off, you're going to be sadly mistaken. So even President Trump used that leverage, you know, economic leverage. You do this, we'll do this with Mexico, right, to keep people to remain in Mexico. So that's a part of it. But what the Mexican president is demanding is sort of like, really? How dare you issue these kind of demands of us, you know? So
this is the response from a senior Biden administration that Obrador has a very ambitious agenda for some of these things. We would need Congress to ask. We share the vision that we would need to lift up the region. So
what?
They are agreeing in spirit. The Obrador said the senior Biden administration, who's not named.
Wait a minute. What was lift up? Lift up what? What did you say? Who are you quoting here now?
I'm quoting a senior Biden administration official who was not named.
Yeah, and what did he say? Sounded like an inspirational speech. What did he say?
Manuel Lopez Obrador has a very ambitious agenda. Uh-huh. For some of these things, we would need Congress to act. We share the vision that we need to lift up the region.
So he's saying, if I could do it, and if the current president, Joe Biden, could do it, then we would, but we just don't have the support.
Well, we've already seen Joe Biden do a lot of things he said he couldn't do without Congress.
That's true.
Do them anyway. Yeah. So,
hey, listen, the illegal immigration problem is related to the failure of socialism and communism, especially in Central America.
That's right.
And South America and Mexico to some extent, Ray, wouldn't you say? I mean, those economic policies don't work. That's why we
want to come to the free land of the free. Generations, three, four, five generations of failed economic policy. So you have poverty on a massive scale in the countries, Mexico and south into Central America. So the proof of the failure is the people don't want to stay there. They're looking for a better life, and so they come north.
Yeah, so socialism and communism don't work as an economic system. It's not sustainable. It's the reason the Soviet Union collapsed.
Right.
Now, and it's the reason China would have collapsed had they not adjusted. China, communist, yes, but they tried to, and they sort of tried to hybrid more economic policies that are on the free enterprise way of thinking. Pardon me. So whether that'll ultimately work or not, I don't know. But they have done some adjusting there in communist China with respect to, allowing people a little more freedom to make money. But listen, as long as they have the same government corruption in Central America and South America, and even to some extent in Mexico, things are not going to improve. We're going to be sending missionaries down 50 years from now to Nicaragua to put water stations in and build shanties. It's going to be, it's been that way in Africa forever. You know, 100 right. years from now, we need to raise money to send a team to Africa to build showers. So the only way for these people to progress in these poverty-stricken regions would be to adopt, for a lot of them, it's religious that it's the problem. The problems are religious fundamentally. They're like pagan worshipers or they're like idol worshipers, or in the case of like Haiti, but you've been down there, don't they worship like the dead or something?
Voodoo is very strong in Haiti.
Okay.
Has been.
It's the poorest country in the world, almost. Yeah, go ahead.
It's certainly the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and the government has basically disintegrated. It's basically run by gangs down there now. It's not a safe country at all.
Yeah, so we don't have time to go into this right now. Maybe we can do a history lesson. We've talked about it before, but the Judeo-Christian basis for America is what led to our economic prosperity. That they're intertwined, they're interconnected, and maybe we have David Barton on or Stephen McDowell on. Rick Green can wax eloquent on this. We can talk about this, but there's a definite connection to our Judeo-Christian heritage in America. And the economic growth, the freedom, the liberty, And this is why people want to come here from all over the world. Why do they want to come here? They want to come here to experience the fruit of our Judeo-Christian heritage, which the lefties, they don't even want to acknowledge. They want to call that colonialism, and they want to get rid of it. They want to wipe it. They want to make, I guess, make us poor again, make us in poverty like the rest of the world. Steve, we got about 5 minutes here. What do you got?
Right, I'd like to ask you guys your opinion on this. Hugh Hewitt is saying that if Donald Trump needs to be in the news at least twice a month on his terms, with not for the explosive stuff that he says or the name calling, but with policy and serious things to say about what he's going to do in the next term. And the way he says that Hugh Hewitt says he should do this is by now naming his vice president and his cabinet so that people can get an idea who's going to be running the country should he win the election. He has six names that he has suggested might be vice president. I can give those to you if you want.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. What are they?
Tom
are
Cotton, they? Johnny Ernst, Mike Gallagher, congressman from Wisconsin, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, former National Security Advisor Ambassador Robert O'Brien, or Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan.
Those are the ones that Trump said he would?
No, those are the ones that Hugh Hewitt is suggesting that Trump might want to pick.
I got you. Well, the issue here is there may be some that are currently running that Trump himself may be interested in, and he can't do that unless they drop out.
No. Yeah, I don't think Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, is an option. He and Trump don't get along very well. Well, I say they may get along personally very well, but Pompeo's – he's not endorsed Donald Trump. Think about that.
Yeah.
He worked for him for 4 years as Secretary of State, and he's not even endorsing him.
I do think, though, to the point here, that I do think I'm not saying he'll do it, but I do think it would help Trump's case if he would already go at this point list the people that he plans on partnering with, and he'll have to do it at some point. But I know for the first go around of 2016. The people that he partnered with early on in a cabinet position was very and for vice president was very helpful in getting him a lot of the Christian votes.
Because why don't you win the Republican primary first? I would do that. I would win the Republican primary first, and then I don't agree with Hugh Hewitt on that. I agree with Hugh Hewitt on maybe talking about policy ideas and what he might do if Donald Trump is elected, but I think it's
premature.
I just think it'd be better to wait till you win. When you win the you win the Republican nomination, then announce who you've invited to be your VP.
I think Hewitt would like to see is he'd like to see Trump get off of the bomb throwing and onto some policy stuff. I've heard a lot of us say
that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Trump, you're right. But that's where Hugh Hewitt would like it to go.
I mentioned that earlier, the last hour. I would advise President Trump to participate in the last debate and try to bridge Bill with his fellow Republicans, not call them bird brains and
all that stuff, right?
Yeah, it's just so childish. All right. We appreciate everybody listening to the program today, and we invite you to keep listening to American Family Radio and join us tomorrow. Take care, everybody.